So what makes Christian prayer unique in all of the world? What is it among the religions of the world that Christianity sets itself apart as being unique? Well, there's some things you would come to and you would think, well, that's pretty easy. When we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is our faith in Christ that makes our prayer sincere and real. Maybe we could even pray and say, well, you know, when we pray because we believe we have a personal relationship with the God that we worship. And most other religions don't believe that you can personally know your God. And all of those things are true, but there's something else that makes our prayers unique among most of the religions in the world. And you know what it is? In the Christian faith, we believe that you pray for one another. Now, that doesn't sound so unique, and yet it is, because most of the religions that practice in this world, when you pray for yourself, you pray about yourself. You pray to make yourself right with God. You pray to confess your personal sins. But you're really not concerned with those people around you. They're not important. What is important is, how am I relating to God? But you know, from the very beginning, Christians have been instructed to pray for one another. It is one of the commandments that was given us by the Lord Himself. And from the beginning, Jesus has always set the example. Throughout all of the Gospels, one of the things you find is Jesus is constantly praying for others. So He prays for people who are sick. He prays for people who are grieving. He prays for people who are needy. He prays for folks who are confused. He prays for His disciples. He even prays for His enemies. Jesus sets the example of praying for others. No wonder that's the third phrase in the simple prayer that we're looking together this month. We began, if you remember, 3 weeks ago by praying to our Heavenly Father. And we remind ourselves that when we pray for the one who created everything. And all of creation is from Him, and all of creation is accountable to Him. And He allows us, this great God who created it all, to know Him as a father. Last week we looked together at the second phrase, and the second phrase was, I trust you. And it was a reminder of the fact that we are submissive to Him, and we are dependent upon Him, and we trust Him because He has shown Himself trustworthy. And now this morning, the third phrase of a simple prayer, and that phrase is simply this: they need your touch. Lord, I pray for them. They need your touch. They need to know you are there for them. They need to know you are reaching out to them. They need to know you will meet them at their point of needs. Because part of God's prayer, for simple prayer, is that our praying reaches beyond ourselves and our own concerns and our own selfish needs and extends into the lives of the people around us. Simple prayer means learning how to pray for other people. So what are you supposed to pray about when you bring others before the Lord? Well, that's what I want us to think about together this morning. If you're going to pray for someone else, you might want to say this: Lord, I pray for them. I want to encourage them. They need your touch. Lord, I want to encourage them. Too often we're tempted to believe the only time you pray for someone else is when they're sick. When we gather together and we say, so who do we need to pray for? Usually we talk about folks who have physical needs, folks who are going through real difficulties or recovering from surgeries or facing times of loss. And those are important things to do, but Paul gives us a different example. In the passage we read together this morning, we recognize over and over again, Paul is praying prayers of encouragement for others. In the passage we read together, he said, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. In Philippians, he declared, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. When he wrote to Timothy, he instructed him, and he said, "Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." And Paul also made sure that he encouraged Timothy as well. And he wrote to him, "I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers, night and day." Part of simple prayer is to follow the pattern the Lord has given us, and particularly the one we see in the Apostle Paul. When you pray for other people, God gives you the privilege of praying prayers of encouragement, of saying, "I think about you often. I'm praying for you. I recognize the fact that you are very special. God has a plan for your life, and I'm praying that that plan will be fulfilled. I lift you up. I encourage you. I am grateful for you. I thank God for what He is doing in your life." When we pray prayers of intercession, they're focused on the past. You're asking the Lord to help people in the midst of things that have happened to them. But when you pray a prayer of encouragement, it is focused on the future. Praying a prayer of encouragement is saying, "I see God at work in you, and this is what I see Him doing. And this is where I see God leading you, and these are the directions where I see God blessing you. And I want you to know, I pray for you a prayer of encouragement that says, I see what God is doing in your future." You're anticipating the ways that the Lord will be active in the lives of other people. It is a prayer that they will experience blessings and anticipate growth and live with a vital faith. Now, let me make that a little practical. Which means, from time to time, when you come to that point in your life and you think, "I'm just not sure what to pray about. I'm not really feeling inspired to pray in any particular way." All you have to do is look around yourself and pick somebody out. "Lord, there's somebody I know very well, and here's how I want to pray your blessing in their lives. There's someone I don't know very well, but Lord, I want to pray that you will bless them and you will guide them and you will be there for them. And Lord, there's somebody, I don't know them at all. I don't have a clue who they are. I can pray for them." Now, let me tell you how the Lord has convicted me about that. One of the things that I always try to anticipate when I fly in an airplane is, who am I going to sit next to? And will I have a chance to talk to them about faith? Will I have a chance to talk to them about Christ? And sometimes you get that opportunity, and I've had some wonderful conversations with folks who were my seatmate in an airplane. Often what you find out is that they don't want to talk to you at all. By the time you sit down in your seat, they already have their tablet out. They already have their AirPods in their ears. They're already focused. And sometimes you can read that body language, can't you? You ever sit down next to somebody and all you see in their body language is, "Don't look at me, don't notice me. I don't want you to say anything to me. Leave me alone." And you think, "Okay, well, I guess I'm not supposed to talk to you." I never have reached over and pulled that AirPod out and said, "Hey, I want to talk to you a minute." But you know what the Lord has convicted me about? I may not be able to talk to them, but there's nothing they can do to stop me from praying for them. "Lord, I don't know who this person is. I don't know where they're going. I don't know what's going on in their life. But Lord, I just want to pray for them. I want to ask you to be there with them. If they don't know you, I want to pray that you'll send somebody along their path that will lead them to know you." The great thing about prayer is nobody can stop it. Amen. Nobody can ever say to you, "Don't pray for me. I won't let you do it." You have that ability to pray for others. But here's the neat thing we also need to remember about encouraging prayers. Encouraging prayers are also prayers we offer to one another within the body of Christ. The passages that I read a few moments ago, by and large, were prayers that Paul prayed for churches, not just for particular individuals. He wanted them to know, I care for the church. I'm lifting you up in prayer. I want you to know I care about you. One of the great privileges I have, because I'm your pastor and I have access to this building just about any time, is that from time to time I just walk into this sanctuary and I just walk the aisles and pray for our church. I can start there and come down there and go across there and come down here. Sometimes God brings somebody to mind because our church is like everybody's church. I know exactly where most people sit. And sometimes when I pass your pew, the Lord reminds me of something that's been going on in your life, and it gives me opportunity to pray for you. But often, I just pray for our church and ask God to bless us and ask God to guide us and ask us to be a people of His Word and ask us to be committed to Jesus. Isn't it good to be able to pray an encouraging prayer for your church? Paul was giving us a model as to how we can encourage each other in prayer and how we can do it as a body. Those of you in this room who have been ordained as deacons or in ministry can tell, give a testimony how humbling it is when others in their church representing the whole body gather around and lay hands on them and pray. Like most of you, I've been part of other groups where somebody was struggling, and the Lord just led that group to gather around them and pray for them. There's great power in the simple power of encouragement. Lord, I pray for them. They need encouragement. But that's not all. We can also say this, and Lord, I'm lifting them up. They are hurting. While intercession is not the only way we're to pray for others, it is an opportunity for ministry. When we pray for others, we are ministering to them in times of hurt. Remember when Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration and he met that father who was desperate to see his son made well. You remember he was dealing with a spirit that would cause the young man sometimes to fall into the water and sometimes to fall into the fire. And the father knew it's only a matter of time before he's going to die unless somebody helps him. Jesus was up on the mountain, but his disciples were down there with this man, and they did everything they could think of to make this little boy well. They tried to say the words they'd heard Jesus say. They tried to do the things they'd heard Jesus do. They thought that they could step in and take Jesus' place, and it never worked. And the Lord came back down the mountain, and he set him free, and he made him well. Later, when the crowd had dispersed, the disciples all gathered around Jesus and they said, Lord, we don't understand. We tried to do what you do. We tried to say what you say. We tried to help the way you would help. And essentially what Jesus said to them was, fellas, you forgot to pray for him. Some things can only be accomplished through prayer. That's a hard lesson for us to learn, isn't it? Some things can only be accomplished through prayer. Because let's face it, by nature, most of us are activists. I will do something. I see you hurting, I will do something. I see you in pain, I will try to relieve your pain. And there Jesus is saying, but before you do anything else, prayer is not the least thing you can do, it's the most that you can do for another person. The Lord wants us to pray for others. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Supplication, it comes up twice. That is not a word that you use in your daily life. I would dare say not one of you can say, boy, I walked up to a friend the other day and said, I've been supplicating for you. I just want you to know that. What does it mean? It means stepping in, seeing the world through their eyes, and praying for them. Lifting them up with a heart that cares. When do you pray for others? You pray when they're hurting. You may pray for physical healing. You may pray for emotional comfort. You may pray for spiritual empowerment. You may pray for conviction. You may pray for correction. You may pray for guidance. You may pray for encouragement. But when you pray specifically for what they're facing. And pray when all you can do is put them in God's hands. All you can do is pray for them. And when you pray, trust God to give you direction as well. Sometimes He may call on you only to pray, but sometimes He may say, and I'm going to use you as part of the solution. You pray and let God be in charge. I think about that often because I remember years ago, we had a church member who was in an intensive care unit for a number of days, struggling to survive. And I would go by the hospital, and family members would always be out in the waiting room, and we would walk in together and we would pray. And I would pray, Lord, I pray for this child of yours, and I want to ask you to make her well. Lord, if it's in your will, please make her well. Then one day, I went to the hospital, and there were family members, and we walked into intensive care, and the Lord kind of guided me. And as I prayed, Lord, I pray for this child of yours who is struggling and suffering so badly. I want to pray, Lord, that you'll make her whole again. And we walked back out to the waiting room, and within about 5 minutes, the doctor came out and said, I'm sorry, she's gone. The Lord answered that prayer. And I learned from that, you know, sometimes the Lord makes us well, but sometimes the Lord makes us whole. And that's what happens when you belong to Jesus. He makes us whole again. When we pray for one another, we let the Lord be in charge. We're not saying to Him, Lord, you do things my way. You do things the way I have planned for them to turn out. What you are saying is, Lord, there they are. I care for them. I'm asking you to step in and do what is right. And He will. Then there's one other thing that we need to remember when we pray for others, and it is this. We pray a prayer that says, Lord, I am praying for them. Open their eyes. The most important prayer you may be able to pray for another is a prayer for them to have a saving encounter with Jesus. Lord, I'm praying for them because I know they don't know you. They don't have a relationship with you. Open their eyes. Because there's three things we know about salvation. First, we know salvation can only be experienced through personal faith in Christ. Nobody will ever find their way to heaven unless they have a relationship with Jesus. But we also know this. We know, secondly, that salvation is a choice. That God would like everyone to be saved, but He allows each one of us to make a free will decision about whether we'll trust Him or not. Which brings us to the third most important thing, and it is simply this: but nobody can make that choice without the influence of the Holy Spirit. Not one person has ever made the decision to trust Christ as Savior without the Spirit of God dealing with them and saying, this is something you need to do in your own life. So when we pray for people, we pray that the Lord will open their eyes, that they will recognize they have a need, and God's solution is His Son. And when we share the gospel with others, we pray that God will use our words to speak to their hearts. The way I say it is this: there comes this point in every person's life where the truth becomes my truth. And it may be that you've heard the truth of the gospel 100 times, but for you it's still just the truth. I believe it, I know it's true, but it hasn't become personal. It has to become my truth. That's that moment when you recognize all of those things I've heard and all of those things I believe are real. And I receive Christ for myself. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes into play. Because He's the one that stirs your heart. He's the one that speaks to you in the depths of who you are and says, "That's what I want you to do." If we had time this morning, I could take testimonies of salvation. And some people would say this: I walked into a church one Sunday with no intention whatsoever of walking an aisle and trusting Christ. But in the midst of that service, God did something. That's the Holy Spirit who speaks to your heart. And when we pray for one another, one of the prayers we pray is, "Lord, open their eyes. Help them to be sensitive and open to what the Spirit of God wants to do. Help them to recognize how much they need Jesus. Help them to make their decision to trust the Savior." Of all of the ways that we pray for others, nothing is more important than that. That we simply pray, "I lift them up so that they might come to know you." Maybe that there's somebody here in this room this morning, and that's exactly what you need. You need a personal encounter with a saving Christ. Will you let me pray for you for just a moment? Father, this morning, as we think about what it means to pray for one another, to encourage one another, to pray for one another in points of need, Father, there's nothing more important than to pray for one another, and particularly for those who do not know Jesus, that they might come to a saving relationship with Christ. So, Lord, that's what I'm praying this morning. Father, I'm praying for those gathered around this room, and Father, particularly for some who may know all about the truth of the gospel, who could tell you all of the Bible stories and who recognize all the truth and believe it's all real, but they've never had a personal encounter with Jesus. They've never trusted Him as Savior. Lord, I want to pray for them that today might be the day when they say yes and trust You as their eternal Savior and Lord. I lift them up and I pray for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if today was a day when that prayer spoke to your heart and you recognize you need to know Jesus, then in just a moment we're going to stand, we're going to sing an invitation hymn. I would love to introduce you to the Savior. All you got to do is walk the aisle, come to me, and I'll be glad to introduce you to Jesus. If you're a little hesitant to do that, you look around yourself and folks who are on our ministry staff, folks who teach you in Sunday school, lead you in Bible studies, and tell them, "Today I need to talk to somebody. I need to know Jesus." Maybe you're here today and you're recognizing God's calling you to be part of this fellowship. He wants you to be a member of First Baptist Church, that fellowship that you can pray for as we trust and follow the Lord together. Or maybe the Holy Spirit's speaking to you in a very particular way and you're recognizing you need to respond to whatever He's saying to you as a believer. And maybe you need to come and say, "Pray with me and pray for me as I follow Christ." Is there a decision you need to make? We're going to stand and we're going to sing our invitation hymn. If God is speaking to your heart, you come. Let's stand together. Let's sing. Excuse me. Well, I'm glad we got to share this time together. I'm glad we got to be in God's house. It's cold outside, but there's a warmth of God's fellowship in this place, and I'm glad we got to share it together. And let's remember, God's called us to pray for one another. I look forward to seeing you soon. This evening, I want you to stay indoors, bundle up, keep the heat on. Deacons, come at 4 o'clock, and then you can warm up after we're done. And we'll have a great time together. Be sure you walk by the door and speak to my wife, who will be there to greet you gladly. Okay? Let's bow together for a closing prayer and then one last song. Father, we do pray, thanking you that you give us the privilege of lifting one another up, praying for one another, and showing God's love and grace to each other. And we pray, Lord, as we go from this place, that we recognize that this is that powerful spiritual tool that we can always exercise in our lives. So bless us, Lord, and help us to be faithful. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.